So today's scripture is basically the covenant that's made with the generation of the wilderness that didn't come out of Egypt. The ones that came out of Egypt died in the wilderness, and this generation is a new generation. So basically God is renewing the covenant, if you will, with those folks. The terms of the covenant are the same. God didn't stutter or stammer the first time he said it, so he doesn't need to change things, but he needs to refresh it. And we have something interesting going on, and I got this from Rabbi Foreman. There's a sequence of ceremonies in this covenant, and the first one is the first fruits declaration, where the farmer comes up with the first of his produce and makes a declaration. Then the next one is the tithe declaration, where a herdsman comes and makes a declaration about the tithe. Then we have this ceremony on Mount Ebal and Gerizim, where all of these curses are pronounced. And from there, we go into Deuteronomy 28, which is the terms of the covenant. In other words, if you do all this, I'll bless your socks off. And if you don't do all this, then we have this long passage of all the nasty things that are going to happen. And by the way, they did. So what Foreman suggested, and I really like it, is these three ceremonies are in fact a prophylactic against abundance. Now, what do I mean? The first one is the declaration of the farmer. And I will read it to you. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down to Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. And we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voices and saw our affliction, our toil and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given you and your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. First thing there, notice that we have a encapsulated story of the book of Genesis and Exodus in this one little statement. And the purpose of that is to make the farmer and the one who does this declaration understand that he is standing on infrastructure that somebody else has built. It isn't just him all by himself. There is a train of things that have led him to where he is and resulted in his ability to grow this bounteous crop. The other part about that is it gives him a perspective that there isn't anything special about him that he deserves all this bounty. He could have been born in Egypt. He could have been born in the wilderness. He could have been born in 1940s Germany. There's all sorts of places that all of us could have been born but weren't. And the fact that we're born where we are and put in a place where we are able to be blessed and prospered is not anything that we have done. It is something we've inherited. And so the first thing that happens with this ceremony is you sort of get the impression that, wait a minute, this isn't just about me. I am simply the beneficiary of a chain of events that have set me in this place under these circumstances and allowed me to prosper. And I'm acknowledging that. Then the second one is the declaration over the tithes. And of course, there's three tithes. The first tithe goes to the temple, and that serves to keep the tabernacle or the temple going. Everybody that serves in the temple can eat of that produce. The second one goes to you. You get to take the second tithe, and you get to then come up to wherever God will place his name, and you get to rejoice with all your friends and everybody in your community. Rejoice at the blessing that God has given you. So tithe number two is for you and your community. And then tithe number three is for those who are unfortunate, the widow, the Levite who has no land, the sojourner, etc. So those are the three tithes, and this declaration says, I did it the way I was supposed to. And if you don't do that, the temptation there is a temptation to greed. In other words, I deserve all this stuff because I'm the one that plowed the field. I'm the one that husbanded the grapes. I'm the one that fought off the Philistines. It's mine. And so the idea of this declaration is you come before God and you say, I have done this thing that you have asked, and I have not spent any of it on myself, except the part that I do get to spend on myself, and that I did in the proper place. Now, there's a sequence here. The first part of that sequence is a lack of perspective on who you are. So the farmer that brings the first fruits, this is to give him perspective of who he is. And if you don't do that, you lose perspective of who you are. And you begin to think it's all about me. Well, then the next step down that ladder is it's all mine, and I'm not going to share it with anybody because it's all mine. So the next step down the ladder is this ceremony at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And one of the things to notice about all of those things that are cursed is their secret. For example, you don't commit incest with your sister out in public. It's something that happens in private. The same thing with leading the blind astray. The blind don't know they're being led astray. The same thing is perverting justice against the fatherless, the widow, and the sojourner. Well, these people have no power. They can't, I mean, they can complain, but nobody ever listened to them. So I can treat them any way I want. So you have a progression. It's all about me. I deserve it. It's all mine. And, oh, by the way, then I get to fall into conniving and slick dealing, if you will, because nobody's going to call me up on it. Do that in reverse now. Foreman described a potential stair step down into things that are not good. If you look at it from the other perspective, this is Moses' prescription to keep you from doing that. That's what these ceremonies all are. They're Moses' prescription to keep you from falling into the sins of abundance. And at the end of the day, you have the blessings for obedience. And buried in Deuteronomy 28, and it's in the middle of all these curses, so you might have missed it. So I will draw your attention to it. And I'm in Deuteronomy 28, verse 45. All these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that he commanded you. They shall be a sign and a wonder against you and your offspring forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart. In other words, the whole thing boils down to your attitude. And if you look at all the blessings and stuff that has happened to you, and you praise and thank God and enjoy the relationship that you have with God, that stuff continues. If, on the other hand, you get all grumpy and you say, it's all about me and I deserve all this and I'm going to do whatever I need to do to get ahead and get what I want, then all of this stuff is going to come upon you because your relationship with God has gone sour. That's what's going on in this passage. And just to make sure that you understand how bad it can get, you have this long list. The blessings are very short. Everything's going to work great, 25 words or less. But if you don't, this is all the stuff that's going to happen. And lots of people misunderstand this because he's talking in terms of commands and so forth. And the idea is disobedience somehow ticks God off. God's up there about half ticked, looking around to see, all right, what are you going to do wrong? And he's got the smite button there, and he's waiting for you to do something wrong, and he hits the smite button, and nasty things happen to you. The commandments are for your good. Keeping the commandments, which in many cases is contrary to human nature, and that's the whole point of the commandments. If it weren't contrary to human nature, he wouldn't have to say it. So all of these things that he's telling you are for your own good. And if you don't follow them, the first thing that happens is he just sort of steps back and takes his hand off of you and watches. And all sorts of bad things start to happen to you because God has taken his hand off of you. And if you don't get the message, then at some point, God will in fact intervene. He'll whistle up the Babylonians or the Assyrians or the Romans, and he will send them through your country. Now, on a modern note, one of the things that it says in there, the sojourner among you will rule over you. How many sojourners among us have come across the southern border in the last 4 years? I'm just saying, all of this happens over and over again. So, one of the things that we have today is we have become a nation that has turned our backs largely upon God. Not everybody, obviously. You all are sitting here, and there's going to be people sitting in synagogues and churches this weekend that haven't. So it's not everybody. But the point is, as the nation and its governance turns its back on God, God starts to withdraw. And what we have now is this self-focus that the blessing of the farmer and the rancher is intended to contradict. Everybody now is, it's all about me. I don't listen to radio anymore. I used to listen to Rush, I loved him, but now that he's died, I don't. But one of the things that I've noted in the advertisements is everybody who was advertising something was saying, you deserve this. And that just used to bug me sideways, because you don't deserve it. You may earn it. You may get off your blessed assurance and go work and earn it, and then by all means, enjoy it. And that's, by the way, what the first fruits and so forth is. You guys have worked hard. You've gotten a bumper crop. Come up and acknowledge that it's from God, and then enjoy it. It's yours to enjoy. It's the same thing with a pair of shoes or a car or whatever it is they say you deserve. If you get off your blessed assurance and you work and you earn the money to buy it, then by all means, enjoy it. But you don't deserve it. And that deserving is by way of focusing everything on you. Everything revolves around me. And that's what the Torah is designed to contradict, because that's human nature. And human nature, uninformed by God, is selfish. That's what we are. And if allowed to run riot, then what happens is this list of things, progression down, that winds up in 80% of Deuteronomy 28, where you don't want to be. One of the things with the declaration of the farmer at first fruits is he gives a short recitation of the history of how he came to be here in this place with this bumper crop. He is remembering his history. What has been going on in this country with the destruction of statues? What they're trying to do, and they are succeeding largely, is they are trying to destroy our history. Because without a history, you have no roots. And everything then comes to focus on you. In other words, I don't owe anything to anybody. I am who I am, and I deserve it. So what you have is the attitude that we have today, and the destruction of our history is part of that, and it's deliberate. This is not somebody getting up self-righteously in the morning and say, ha, that founding father owned slaves. We shouldn't honor him. There's a passage, by the way, in the gospel that talks about that. And I'm in Matthew 23, 29 and 30. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, If we had lived in those days, in the days of our father, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. We're special. We're better than they were. We would never have owned slaves. We would never have been colonizers. We would never have been whatever. That's what's being said here. So if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in the shedding of blood of prophets. Thus you witness against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you brood of vipers. How are you to escape being sentenced to hell? And the point is, what they've said is, we have disconnected ourselves from our history. We say that we're different than those other people. And Yeshua is saying, no, you're not. You're just like them. And if you persist in destroying your history, the things of that history will come down upon you. That's what he's saying. In other words, you are the same kind of people as the people that killed the prophets. You haven't learned from that. You've said that you're better than they are. So you are just exactly like them, and you're going to do the same thing. That's what's going on with the destruction of our history. If we lived in those days, we wouldn't have been slave owners. If we live in those days, we wouldn't have been colonizers, etc. It's exactly the same thing. And it's designed to disconnect you from your history and to focus all of this on you and away from God. And as I said, if human nature were righteous, God wouldn't have to give us the Torah. There wouldn't be any point in it. Human nature is not righteous. So he gives us the Torah. And he says, this is for your own good. Follow this. You'll have a good society. You'll have a good life. You'll have peace. You'll have prosperity. You'll have bounty. Things will work well for you if you do it this way. When you don't, you get where we are today. Paul was praying about that this morning. So, yes, you have worked hard, all of you. You've prospered, I hope. That's all good. But recognize that you are standing on the shoulders of previous generations. The fact that there's a power plant out there keeping the light on. Now, you may have built a house and you got light bulbs in it and you think, wow, look at that. But it doesn't work unless somebody else in the past has built a power plant. You drove here on roads that somebody else in the past built. In an automobile that somebody invented over 100 years ago. Yours is much nicer, but you're standing on the shoulders of the past. And that's what this farmer's declaration is supposed to make you aware of. And that's what we need to make those around us aware of, is how magnificent the blessings are that have been given to us. And they have. This nation has been blessed like no nation except Israel in the past. And the key to keeping that blessing starts with the farmer's declaration. Speak the history of the country. Speak gratitude for God doing this for you. Spread that word. And you'll get idiots who will say, well, yeah, but, and point out all the warts. We all got warts. Warts are part of the human condition. If you stay all warted up, that's your problem. But the fact that your ancestors had warts is not your problem. They have set you up with a great blessing. Preserve it. And the way to preserve it is joy. Joy at what you have, joy with God, joy of all of the blessings that you have. So spread that joy, because that is your security.